I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Been joined in studio in Madison in the world headquarters by a fine congressional candidate. She is Deb McGrath. She is a retired Army captain, a former CIA officer, a wife, and a mother. Welcome to the studio. Make sure you sit nice and close to that microphone.
Oh, I'm so glad to be with you, Mike. Thank you.
Well, welcome to the Devil Radio Studios. Deb, let me start. Army captain. I was a enlisted officer, or pardon me, enlisted non-commissioned. I feel like I should salute you or something.
No, we all serve, right? We all serve together.
We did. When was your service, approximately?
So I served from 83 to 88.
Okay.
And I took our toughest assignments. I signed up for airborne school. I went to airborne school. So I'm a jumper. And I served on the DMZ in Korea.
I was afraid to even try air assault.
Oh, that's another good school.
I was a combat medic.
Oh, thank you.
And I joined after Iraq invaded Kuwait. But the first time, it was so short-lived. I entirely stateside, so I don't want to claim any false glory. I didn't serve overseas. I had nice stateside duty, and I went back to college, and I finished up and never had to serve in a war. That really changed. The nature of service, especially for people like me, I joined the reserves. I expected to do one tour overseas and then go back to college, you know, assuming I lived and didn't get maimed. That was the amount of service I signed up for. Deb, that really changed during the second Persian Gulf War. What do you think that, and I realize this is a little off topic, but a couple of military people. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that the people that signed up for that, I mean, I want some college tuition reimbursement. That's what I signed up for, the GI Bill. I didn't sign up for 6, 7, 8 tours. Some people got stuck with that. What's your opinion on that?
Well, Mike, like you, I didn't have money for college, and the military did, and I went ROTC. And so, like you, I wanted to serve. My father had served in the Army, had been in the Korean conflict, and so I knew that service would be a proud way to give back to my country, but I also knew that I would get education out of it. And I absolutely believe that that is what we need to, that we need to continue. In a volunteer force, we need to be able to incentivize this and help people get on their feet again. And many people join the military now for specialized training, like you did, you know, became a combat medic. You could have gone into healthcare. It's a perfect, you know, path.
No, they made us actually get our civilian EMT registry so they could claim we've got jobs that translate to the civilian world. Now, I never did that, but that was part of the gig.
It's a path, but I absolutely believe, like you're saying, that being able to go to college by signing up to serve your country, and you become worldwide deployable, right? That's the part. You sign up, you say, I'll go anywhere. And for my country, and I will serve where I'm asked to go. So you do it wholeheartedly, and so therefore we deserve to be able to, you know, give veterans their education. But I think even more so is people like you were talking about that did back-to-back tours. They had the opportunity, you know, there is now, you sign up for 3 years or 4 years, you determine your own enlistment, and of course an officer's, your commission time. But during that time, you go where you're serving. You don't get to have a choice, pretty much. You can put in where you'd like to go, but you go where you're told. That's service. Then we need to take care of people who do serve. When they come back, we need to make sure that they have health care, mental health care, and that we take care of the issues that they might have encountered when they were overseas or saw tough things. So I am committed to taking care of veterans.
Deb McGrath, fine candidate, U.S. Congress from the great state of Wisconsin. Deb, a current issue before the president and the Biden administration is the concept of forgiving student loan debt. And depending on who you ask and who you poll, it's either very popular or less popular. Some people say, well, you know, I paid my loans back, etc. I see the military as an option for a lot of people that don't have financial resources. I mean, it's a start point in life. What is your opinion? If you were elected to the Congress, would you advocate for A, student loan forgiveness, B, you work it off through some sort of public service? What would be your advocacy?
Mike, I love the way you're, I love the path you're going here, because I absolutely see there's many ways to service, and that we have done this in our history. Sometimes we've given, you know, teachers some work study programs, and sometimes it's been healthcare workers. We need to be able to expand this now. Our environment needs, but we need all kinds of people get training and can work in that, and we could have work study programs, and that they, we, people right now have got such crippling loans, many times for years. So I feel that this would be a great way so that everybody could serve our nation in ways that they feel passionate about and could give right back to their communities. So I think there's a greater path, and the military program is a way that we could leapfrog off of this in order to do this in a better way for the whole nation.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a congressional candidate in the Madison studios. She's Democrat. She is a retired Army captain, a former CIA officer, a wife and a mother, but not everyone has former CIA officer on their resume. Let's talk about that. That's not something you just sign up for. I suspect you were recruited for that position.
Right. So I have to just say, I did actually retire from the CIA. I was a captain in the Army, and then came a military spouse and mother, proud, and they serve too. They sacrifice. And then I was recruited in the CIA after 9/11. At a time when all of us wanted to do what we could for our nation again. And so I served in our toughest locations. I served at the tip of the spear, as we say, in crisis situations. And I was awarded our commendation medal upon retirement for courage and for mission accomplishment in global support, global operations. I'm really proud of what we can do for our nation when, and in keeping a stable world. That is what we need, is so that America can have the best economy that we can have, is so we need to have a peaceful world.
Deb, the movie Fight Club, one of the rules of Fight Club is you can't talk about Fight Club. When you work at the CIA, that's going to be a weird profession. Part of it is you got to keep a secret. Deb, those that know me know I can't keep secrets. Military intelligence, CIA, was not my offing point. How difficult was that? And you know, are there things that if you told me, you'd have to kill me right now?
No, Mike. And in fact, you know, of course, and you and I will be a perfect pair, because I'm the person you want to have right by your side. Because I absolutely, when you know it's for your country, then there is no other option. It becomes very clear that if it's our security at risk, then there's nothing that I have to say. And it's not even something that that I think about, because the mission is the mission, and we're doing what we need to do to make people safe. So it actually hasn't been hard at all. And absolutely, no, we're all Americans, and we're serving for this for the same reasons.
Deb, you want to take an oath to be a U.S. congressperson. You've taken an oath to the Constitution as a military leader, and I suspect when you joined the CIA. Now, I take a lot of issue with what happened on January 6th of 2021, I guess it was. I mean, the big lie is still permeating politics in the state of Wisconsin. But above and beyond that, you know, this was an active coup against the vice president, an active coup against democracy, and we're learning more and more each day. I mean, the January 6th committee hearings are going to begin on June 9th. We're going to broadcast them live. But the person that wants to run against you, the Republican candidate from La Crosse area, I guess, ran against your predecessor in this position, our buddy Ron Kind. Derek Van Orden was literally at the January 6th insurrection. He was at the Capitol. He has not been criminally charged. What's your opinion of a guy like that, that would look to at least be, you know, insurrectionist adjacent during a coup attempt against the U.S. government, yet the guy wants to go and, what, serve in that very same government? It seems very oxymoronic. Deb, I know you don't support the candidacy of Derek Van Orden, but what's your opinion of the man?
Well,
and he served in the military.
So
what the hell's wrong with this guy?
Let's repeat it, right? To protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Right, without mental reservation. Right, that's the oath we took, and it, you're right. Every time you take an oath of when you serve our government, you take that oath. And first, when I saw that, that was a call to action for me. That is why I'm running, because Derek Van Orden almost beat Ron Kind. He came within 3 points. And this is someone that is a conspiracy theorist. He's an insurrectionist. He doesn't reflect our values. He won't defend our rights. He doesn't stand for who we are in Wisconsin. And this is my state. This is where I grew up. This is why I served 25 years, putting my country over politics. And that we must have a leader who will stand up, go toe-to-toe, and I will. I can go toe-to-toe with Derek Van Orden. So,
did you see the headline at the Journal Sentinel today about your possible opponent on the Republican side? Mr. Van Orden apparently took a loaded gun in his carry-on luggage to an airport in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And this is a guy that did serve in the Navy SEALs. Admirable service to the country. No one doubts his service. But I doubt the wisdom or the story, the plausibility of, oh, it was a mistake and I was traveling with the family. You know, in my entire life, I've never once forgotten I had a live loaded gun in my suitcase. It seems very implausible. It seems like the mistake was he got caught. I want to get your opinion on traveling with sidearms.
Well, Mike, let's just remember, too, and when we were trained to use weapons, we were trained to use them responsibly, and you never ever forget what's the most important thing you have on your person is a weapon, and that you are in charge of that weapon. That is the most important, because you have the safety of every other person around you at risk. That is your most important job, to be mentally fit, be psychologically fit to use that weapon, handle it. You never forget it. And so this is, you know, again, another thing about, you know, Derek Van Orden that isn't fitting with a leader. The character of a leader is someone who would, you know, take our laws seriously. He's an insurrectionist. He has not been respecting our legal institutions.
Deb, Deb McGrath, a fine congressional candidate, wants to run against Derek Van Orden. He's the apparent likely nominee of the Republican Party. I think he's the only one running. But your resume of service, and obviously he has an appealing resume if he wasn't a loonball conspiracy theorist insurrectionist bastard, you know, he's got an admirable resume. But how does yours contrast? Are you the right candidate to take him on in the general?
I am the right candidate. I'm the one that can win and keep this seat. And by putting my country over politics for 25 years, and by working together with people of diverse voices, listening to everyone, and fighting for the people of rural Wisconsin who have been left behind for too long. You know, when I look at my candidacy, I'm trying to get things done. He's promoting the big lie. He's an insurrectionist. I want to get drug prices lower. I want to get health care, affordable health care for people. I want to clean up our environment. I'm going to do things for people.
Deb McGrath, we're going to keep you around. We're going to talk about Roe v. Wade. But before we do, I got to tell you, the biggest issue on my docket this elective cycle is got to be democracy, just preserving democracy, keeping the truth front and center about democracy, and obviously trying to see accountability for the coup attempt that was perpetrated against our country. Is that number, what would you say your number one electoral issue is as a candidate?
I would say democracy is at the heart of everything we do, right? And the accountability is going to be huge. So when I look at number one issues, it is making sure that we get the trust of the people back. And so I think that's building democracy. And we can do it through drugs, our economy, and making sure the people have their rights.
Well, Deb, when you say drugs, I think you and I are probably thinking different sorts of drugs.
Lower drug prices. Lower drug prices.
You know, I did go to college in the third. We had a hell of a good time. I wish you got to meet my buddy Dominic, my college roommate today. Come back with us. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a fine guest in the world headquarters, Devil Radio, right here in Madison. She is Deb McGrath. She is a retired Army captain, a former CIA officer, not director, and a wife and a mother, and my fine guest. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, you're listening right now.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, the Monday edition, a magical show. Got a fine guest live in the world headquarters here at Devil Radio. She is Deb McGrath. She was a Army captain, so I feel like I got to salute her. She was a CIA officer, and she's currently a wife and a mother. And Deb, obviously, you, like everyone else in this nation, have heard the news of the prospect that Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. And as we were coming back on air, I mentioned, I think it's an inflection point politically, at least for this cycle. I can't believe it's not going to be a huge issue that wakes up female voters. If there was any question about why elections matter, there shouldn't be any longer. Deb, what is your electoral position on Roe v. Wade? How do we preserve these rights? And how important do you think it will be as you go forward as a candidate? Does being a woman in this cycle help your cause?
This is an attack on our rights, on our fundamental freedoms. And I will absolutely stand for the rights of women to have their own reproductive care, to have an abortion. And this is, we can't go back. I myself, when I found out that I was having a child, had to make it's an instantaneous decision. This is something that it's a lifelong responsibility. It's a life-changing experience. Every person, every family should get to choose that. And we can't take that away. And this is, again, when we were talking about the right wing, fringe, this is their another tactic to make things harder for working families. We know that this is harder on marginalized populations. So I will be standing up for our rights. And this is absolutely a cornerstone of my campaign. I've already been out fighting this week, you know, leading a march in Eau Claire. We were in La Crosse, and we are standing up for this.
Deb, if we look at the current makeup of the Wisconsin legislature, and we've seen the new legislative maps, and I don't mean the congressional maps for a minute, I mean the state legislative district maps. There are going to be Republican majorities, I don't care how big the blue wave is, probably for another decade. If Roe v. Wade gets overturned, in the state of Wisconsin, it would make abortion illegal immediately. And there would not be a legislative will, pardon me, regardless of a Democratic governor's desire, there wouldn't be a Republican legislative will to codify what effectively is Roe v. Wade. So if that's going to happen, it's going to have to happen on a federal level for states like Wisconsin. Abe, do you think candidates like yourself will help take up the mantle of this sort of advocacy? Because I don't think we can get it done with the current makeup of the Senate, but you also have to pass it through the House. And we have to retain control of the House to have a fair shot at that. Where do you stand?
Mike, you're absolutely right, because we can't depend on Wisconsin to get this done right away. And can you imagine women in the state losing access to care? This has to be codified in Congress, and it has to be done right away. And if it isn't done before November and January, I will be somebody who can get this done. And I have been able to work with people of diverse voices to get things that done like this. My dad used to say my dad was former congressman for the 3rd, Al Baldus. And he said there were two ways onto the House floor. You could go through the Republican cloakroom or the Democratic cloakroom. But guess what? There was no code. You used to open the door, and he used to go through that cloakroom every other day and shake hands with folks. And on Friday, he went to ecumenical prayer breakfast, because he said they were great eggs, but it was to be able to reach people where they are. And we know that most Americans want this right. We know that this is what's right for America. So we have got to codify this in Congress, and I will be the one to fight for this. Derek Van Orden will not. He's called abortion genocide.
Deb, new maps in the 3rd CD. We know Stevens Point's now going to be part of that district. It's La Crosse up to Eau Claire, and then down the swingiest part of the state of Wisconsin, the river. Deb, do you think this new map, is it a slightly bluer map in the 3rd?
I I believe yes. And I think that what we are also talking about in the third is that there, I bring a fresh perspective to this race. There are some things that we need to be talking about. We haven't been talking about child reproductive rights. We haven't been talking about child care for, you know, how important that is for families. We need to be talking more about public schools and again, lowering drug prices. The things that we need to get done so that people feel like they can trust us, that's where we need to get to those rural and internet. When we, you know, that needs to be done immediately and not, you know, some long-term plan. It's like electricity. Kids need to be able to go to do their homework in their own homes instead of the Quick Trip parking lot. So there are some things that we need to get done right away. And I think that we can work on those things across the aisle. I can.
Ron Kind used to use the vernacular of the district quite a bit. He'd talk about planting the seed corn. Have you picked up any third CD vernacular out there on the road talking to the rural folks and the other folks?
Well, we're talking about the fight. And that's when I say strength for Wisconsin. Because Wisconsinites can't, that they make up their own minds. And that, you know, this people think, oh, well, they, you know, went for Trump. It must be turning red. I disagree. I think that we need to be talking about those issues that really matter to people at their kitchen table. And it is about lowering drug prices. It's about making sure we have affordable and accessible health care and great public schools in every zip code, and making sure we have infrastructure built out so, and then investments to farms and businesses so they can be sustainable and innovative. People need to hear that we want to make a difference for them, and that is who we are in Wisconsin.
Deb, we're going to speed round right to the end here, and we'll get your website in. But are you a dog or a cat person?
Growing up, I was always a dog person. So you have to say what you were first. But I've come to really like cats, too. And so cats can almost be like dogs sometimes.
Deb,
I'm a pet person.
Wisconsin traditions mean drinking a beer, if appropriate, with our favorite politicians. What would be your favorite cold adult beverage?
Well, I'm Minocqua. Minocqua's beers are some of my favorites, and having developed a glass of white, you know, a taste for white wine now and then on a summer day is great with the cheese, right?
Not bad. Our pal Kirk Bankstead from Minocqua Brewing, he'll appreciate that. What show did you binge on Netflix or whatever during the pandemic?
Well, I have to say Mrs. Maisel was a ton of fun.
That's an
you know,
excellent
that
one.
Was a lot of fun. And Jack Ryan, everybody kind of asks me about Jack Ryan. So I had to watch it so that I could answer questions. And no, I've never been picked up by a helicopter at a dinner party.
Deb, how many kids do you have? Boys, girls, what do you got?
We have three of our own, two boys and a girl. One's in the Army, and one's a data analyst, and one is a Foreign Service officer. And then my son, my husband has a daughter who's a teacher in for special ed kids in New Hampshire.
Folks, she's Deb McGrath. She's a candidate for the U.S. Senate. Deb, if people want to support your campaign, give them the website.
DebMcGrathForCongress.com.
Excellent. Any other final thoughts? We got like 30 seconds. That went quick on the website.
I am never going to stop fighting for us in Wisconsin, for our families, for our economy, for the strength of our nation. I'll never stop fighting for you.
Deb, really appreciate your resume and look forward to talking to you more. Hope to see you at the big convention in the third CD, the Democratic Party convention, end of June. Thank you, Deb McGrath. Stick around. My little buddy Dominic joins us. The Monday edition, the Happier Happy Hour. It rolls on. More Devil's Advocates.
Thank you, Mike.
You're quite welcome.
The Lockroom Broadcasting.